right, so what are we looking at when we put all of this into play? We gave those tips, thinking, imagining, practicing, talked about identifying those antecedents and triggers that move us in the wrong direction. What does it really look like when we're trying to pull all that together in our minds so we can start moving towards change? Well, take a look at this example that the doctor shares. He talks about a gentleman who needed to make some changes, who needed to go through that tip process and begin to use his adult brain more so that he could really minimize the power of his toddler brain. And for him, the hardest part of beginning the process was developing a repertoire of valuing behaviors. People who retreat to the toddler brain when they're under stress simply don't know how to make themselves feel valuable. So, this is what Joel, the man that Dr. Stastny worked with, did under improve. Because remember, we talked about so much of this in the past. I know it's been a while. And so I know that some of this would be a little sketchy, but you'll be able to follow along with the concepts. Under improve, he described how he responded to his boss's rude behavior by recognizing that the company was losing money. From there, he sympathized with his boss who felt responsible for the losses. He couldn't change his boss's behavior, but the shift in attitude improved his own experience of his boss's bad behavior. For appreciate, he recalled pulling off the road on his commute to work to watch the sunrise. Notice now, he's at work, boss is ugly. So on his way to work, he pulled over and watched that sunrise because he has a great appreciation for the beauty of that sunrise. For connect, he wrote about his special efforts to engage with his wife, realizing that she sometimes felt isolated due to his natural introversion and, more importantly, his history of toddler brain sulking. Yeah, how many of us grown folks have sulked, poked our lips out and went around moping because things did not go the way we wanted them to go? So again, for connect, he wrote about his special efforts to engage with his wife. For protect, he remembered spending a Saturday rescuing stray cats for the local pet adoption agency. Once he had those four things down, improve, appreciate, connect, protect, he was able to come up with a whole repertoire of valuing behaviors that he could do or even just imagine whenever he felt devalued. The toddler brain habit that he wanted to change was lashing out at his wife. His wife, of course, became frightened by Joel's anger, and she and the kids felt like they had to walk on eggshells because they didn't want to set him off. So Joel set up his practice sessions to correct his terrible toddler brain habit by identifying the antecedents. Remember we talked about that, the antecedents? They were almost always tiredness and distraction. He wrote about several times that he felt devalued at home. These were mostly small ego offenses, such as his wife not listening to him when she was busy, or when she complained about his not helping with their two kids. The antecedents for him were almost always irritability from sleep deprivation. How many of you are too sleep deprived? That's something I have to work on constantly, getting my proper sleep. He was almost always irritable from sleep deprivation or feeling stressed from deadlines at work. He worked late into the night at a demanding job, and he imagined then that the antecedents and the triggers were happening now. He imagined understanding that his tiredness was not his wife's fault. And here's the thing. If you don't blame irritability on anyone else, generally speaking, it doesn't last very long. He imagined understanding that she was busy and appreciating how hard she works around the house. He imagined protecting her by offering to help with whatever she was doing and connecting with her through touch. Or in his imagination, if she was unavailable for touch at that moment, he would just imagine touching her. He repeated the association of feeling devalued with the corrected behaviors until it seemed automatic. To simulate the stress of actual interactions, he arranged a couple of practice sessions with his wife in which they discussed incidents from the past. Although it lacked the intensity of the actual incidents, the rise in their anxiety from just talking about it was enough to provoke his initial urge to lash out, which he then practiced regulating. Daily practice of the right behaviors created more opportunities to improve, appreciate, connect, and protect, which made it easier for Joel to become the person and the partner he really wanted to be. That's what it's about, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it is about. I mentioned that not only Joel's wife, but his son, their son needed to, felt like he had to walk on eggshells. He began to look at his son with as much pleasure as he felt pride as he talked about the changes that had come about as his father had changed and brought about so much good into his household as a result. That's what it's about, ladies and gentlemen, letting some of life's best moments come through you. All right, let me share this with you. Let me talk about something else now that is very, very different from what we've been talking about, and then we'll just close with our final comment on that. It has to do with meat, steak in particular. Seeker.com is sharing something very interesting about that. You can print your steak and eat it too using a 3D printer. Yes, 3D printed steak. Nova Meats 3D printed steak is synthetic and vegan, and it was created as a meat-free alternative to animal farming. The gelatinous steak is made of rice, peas, and seaweed protein to boost its amino acids and nutritional properties. A customized 3D printer shapes the fillet into its final form, and Pella colorant is added to give the steak its reddish hue. Is this sounding yummy to you so far? Nova Meat estimates that 100 grams of plant-based meat can be manufactured, get this, for under $3. And that price is expected to drop with commercialization. Nova Meat also hopes that meatless meat has big market potential. By 2050, global demand for livestock products is expected to double, and the world's meat, poultry, and seafood market is projected to be worth $7.3 trillion as early as 2025. That's a massive growth, and that means that our meat consumption could generate 80% of the global allowable greenhouse gas budgets by 2050. So if we can't quit meat but want to fight climate change, plant-based meat might be our best option. Bon appetit. What do you think about it? Woo-wee. 3D printed plant-based meat. Does that work for you, ladies and gentlemen? All right. Well, I don't know if I should ask you to give it some thought or not, but at any rate, I do want you to definitely give some thought to this. Making those changes, going through the processes that I shared with you, remembering that the doctor, the psychologist, Dr. Stassi, strongly recommends practicing the new behaviors for at least 6 weeks, the optimal amount of time to truly develop a new habit so that it becomes automatic. Will it take time? Yes. Will it require energy? Yes. But think about the good it will do in the end. Think about you and your spouse looking at each other with more and more smiles. You and your children looking at each other with more and more smiles, hugging each other and really meaning it. It's worth it. So I want to encourage you. Change those toddler brain habits to adult brain habits so that you can let some of life's best moments come through you.